Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 14th of November, recording at 7:28 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, a couple of points to mention just at the outset. First, the new chart library is up and running, and, well, I hope you like it as much as we do. You might want to print off the user's guide for it, just to speed your understanding of the various different features. Second point to mention is that I'm using a brand new posh microphone for this recording, and I hope this improves the overall quality of the sound. I can't vouch for the overall quality or otherwise of the comments made, but the sound, well, yeah, bless technology. Okay, now what's going on here today? Stock market's mostly steady. I was going to say a bit mixed, and they are a little bit mixed in here today. But some of our favorites continuing to power ahead: China, India, and in Europe we saw Japan also. Japan getting a good bounce here today. Now I apologize for not doing some charts of today's interesting charts, but I can mention some of the features and you can look at them yourselves in the expanded library. But they're about to cut the power off in this place in a big office refurbishment that's going on, and I obviously wanted to get everything completed before that. And therefore, I'll just mention Japan, nice upward dynamic here today, but my goodness, it needed it, because that market really had been underperforming. And while this is an encouraging sign here today, we will need to see some immediate follow-through if this is to be a significant rebound. That wouldn't surprise me, because the environment for stock markets has been quite ebullient, as you will have noticed, and so we should get some follow-through. Now, moving on, government bonds, they had seen some profit-taking yesterday, or they had seen some weakening yesterday, whether it was profit-taking or otherwise, and they're a little bit firmer in here across the boards. The U.S. dollar, that had weakened earlier today, then it steadied, and now it's gone a little bit weaker here overall. The metals have been turbulent, and there's a lot of emotion being expended in various different metals reports that are flying around, as will not have escaped your attention. I think subscribers set records in one report that Owen comments on briefly here today while also posting it. We didn't agree with it last time, and we don't agree with it this time, but that doesn't mean we don't post the article, as you will appreciate. You can read it and look at the charts and make up your own minds. But we saw some further profit taking. Remember yesterday the metals recovered quite well. They were mostly down on the day, but well off their reaction lows. Today we have seen them slip a bit further. Nothing terribly significant in here. More on that in a moment. And the oil price has been sort of winging around, a little up and a little down, so not that much winging, but it's down, currently down 28 cents as I speak, at 58.30. Grains and beans strong in here today. They've been consolidating, and they may be about to recommence those rallies. Okay, where do we actually stand? Well, as far as global stock markets are concerned, the upward trends, where there are upward trends, are intact, and the markets that have been lagging more often than not show signs of improvement. Some are a little overextended or have been running into a bit of profit taking, some of the Eastern European stock markets, but that's not what's going to determine the global trend, and I don't regard them as lead indicators for the global trend either. What impresses me is that when markets seriously underperform like Japan, then they kick in upward dynamics such as we're seeing today. But most of all, I like to look at the leaders, and as long as they're continuing to push into new high ground, some of the Asian markets, the European markets, which had been leaders all along, it's still quite a respectable performance. It's better than that, actually. And while I become concerned when some of these trends get a bit overstretched, notably, they tend to consolidate in little narrow ranges. And I said yesterday that they were doing it not all at the same time, which would imply some sort of general fright and then everything reacts together, but they're doing it in sort of a rotational type of sequence, which is easier to work with analytically and shows that sentiment is not being altered significantly for equities as a whole. So this is still quite favorable action overall. And I'm not going to try to guess as to when this is going to end, certainly not during what is a seasonally very favorable period here right now. Now, I have mentioned those storm clouds, and they are not approaching. The government bonds have steadied in here today, and the oil price, which has lost downward momentum, but it certainly is doing no better than ranging down here at these levels. So that's favorable for the global economy. That does help some of the short-term inflationary concerns to lessen somewhat, but there are plenty of other inflationary concerns for central banks to consider, as you know. But oil is certainly one of the big ones, and that's not a problem in terms of inflation at the moment. Okay. Now, moving on to the government bonds, again, as long as the oil price is down, I don't think we will see any serious upside pressure on these government bond yields. And also, while the consensus is that, the consensus is an acknowledgement of the inevitable, some slowdown in GDP global growth, and the debate is, will we get a soft landing, or will it be somewhat of a bigger or more lengthy economic slowdown? The fuller money view is that it's a soft landing, and that actually the oil price action that we're seeing has enabled this the synchronized global economic expansion story to actually gain a little bit of traction in here in the fourth quarter of this year, although you won't see the evidence of that due to the lagging nature of statistics. You won't see the data to confirm that, in other words, until we are mostly through the first quarter, and then those lagging statistics are reported. So I'm reasonably optimistic about global GDP growth. I don't expect it to overheat, but more importantly, I don't expect it anytime soon, but more importantly, I don't expect it to slip into, or peter out and slip into recession. Now, U.S. dollar, again, I think the U.S. economy needs a soft dollar, wants a soft dollar. I think there's a general recognition that a soft dollar is coming. That can help to hold the dollar up. In the seeming paradox, but again, if too many people are bearish of the dollar, you know they're short, and so that does tend to hold it up. And also, because the dollar still has quite reasonable short-term interest rates relative to many other currencies, that the people who do go in and short the dollar, and if it's not continuing on downwards, and it's spent most of its time ranging, as you know, then they are under pressure to cover, because those interest rate differentials are beginning to hurt, particularly against something like the yen. But I do expect a weaker dollar overall. Then there's the China story that has been out for a few days now, actually came out last week, where China has talked about diversifying some of its holdings, foreign exchange holdings. And it's hardly surprising if they hold $1 trillion, and as they do. So it's hardly surprising that they would diversify. Now, there was a lot of excitement, a number of reports from gold bug sources saying that, well, that might mean that China would go in and buy a lot of gold. Now, I'm very bullish of gold, as you know, but I certainly do not expect, or I'll put it this way, you could knock me over with a feather if the Chinese government goes in and buys a whole lot of gold. I wouldn't mind that being a gold bull, but I don't expect it to happen. And I don't expect it to happen for various different reasons. One, because there isn't enough gold out there for China to be able to make a meaningful diversification of that staggering $1 trillion amount. The gold market just couldn't handle it. The price would go through the roof. And secondly, if China was buying gold, that might well be a politically, in other than just a tiny little nibbling away, inconsequential amounts, in other words, if it were to buy more than inconsequential amounts of gold, which, as I say, I don't think it's going to do, that would raise eyebrows, and that would cause people to extrapolate and to come up with various different scripts saying, well, do they expect a lot of inflation? That would be politically sensitive internationally. Remember, central banks are in the business of monitoring inflationary expectations. So I don't think it's going to happen. Also, there are other resources that China needs more than gold. Now, Chinese individuals, I suspect, will buy gold at some point. And they're already doing so, I suspect. And I think lots of other private investors and investment institutions, they will buy gold because it's hard money. And as I had said years ago, the process of gold gradually being remonetized in the eyes of investors has been taking place. So that's where the demand for gold will come from. I really don't think any central bank will be buying all that much gold. Then there's another factor related to that. For instance, if people began to describe a currency as gold-backed, remember when they used to talk about the Swiss franc in those terms? Well, you've got to be at least 50 to remember that. That helped to push the Swiss franc up to levels that the Swiss central bank and Swiss government eventually found punishing, and so they sold a lot of their gold, and really I can't see any central bank building up a big holding in gold because they don't want the additional currency strength that might bring on. Now, the Chinese yuan is gradually strengthening, but it's doing so from an extremely low level, as you are aware, and it will continue to do that in my view. Okay, and the industrial metals. Now, my feeling is that it's really been surprising that we haven't seen bigger corrections in the industrial metals. And when I look at the chart patterns, I say, well, these could easily get the corrections, particularly patterns such as we see for copper. And why haven't the industrial metals seen bigger corrections to date? For instance, the precious metals fell much more. And the stock markets back in April and May, they fell much more than the industrial metals fell. Well, on average, they did, at any rate. Now, the reasons for that, I would suggest, are because it's investors who have the positions in stock markets, and it's investors who have the positions at the margin. I don't mean just in margin trading, but that control the big swing factor in gold that can cause, in other words, if they come in and buy, it can push it up disproportionately, and if they decide to come out, it can push the price down disproportionately as well. So that's what we have in the precious metals, that's what we have in stock markets, that's what we also have in government bond markets. Now, the industrial metals, for all the talk about secret stockpiles and hedge fund activity, you know, there's no smoke without fire somewhere. But I have said all along that the hedge fund participation in the in industrial metals, sure, it picked up when they were moving up, but it's been greatly exaggerated. And my guess today is that there are more hedge funds that are short industrial metals. There's no way I can prove this, but my guess is that there are more, as to say, hedge funds short industrial metals today than they are long. And that prompted me to say that some of the bearish forecasts that we were seeing coming out of some of the big investment houses might well indicate that as well. And it's an effort to jawbone these things down. And if not because of various different short positions, then to have a second bite at the industrial metal cherries. Because an awful lot of people have been surprised by the extent to which they moved. Now, we've all been surprised by the extent to which they've moved up, and I remain surprised that they haven't seen bigger corrections. So why haven't they seen those bigger corrections? And that's because of supply and elasticity meets rising demand, and that means basically that there is or that the supply situation, rather, the supply of immediately available metal, that's what counts. Not stuff that's in the ground, but the supply of immediately available metal is thin relative to the demand. Now, it can increase for a while and cause an exaggeratedly sharp reaction in the metal price, but then that will pick up again. And so I maintain that the industrial metals are, including uranium, are the dramatic leading examples of the commodity overall commodity super cycle. But again, you know, I'm never going to do anything without looking at a chart or say anything without looking at a chart. That is my anchor with reality. And when I look at these industrial metal charts, I think, you know, these are vulnerable. The ones that have the toppy type patterns, such as copper has, these are vulnerable to corrections. But would I go in and short them? Well, no, because I know about this tight supply situation overall, and I don't need the risk. And I suspect there are probably more people who have lost money shorting the industrial metals prematurely than there are who've actually made money buying the actual industrial metals themselves. Okay. What else to mention here? I mentioned the grains could be in the latter stages completing this strength. Certainly, if there's any follow-through tomorrow or later this week, would suggest that they may well be completing these recent consolidations. It's still a very, very bullish sector overall. Meanwhile, just one last point, that the gyrations that, or not the gyration, we haven't had that many gyrations, the bearish reports that have been coming out on industrial metals have spooked some of these mining shares temporarily. My view is that given the incredibly attractive valuations on which those shares trade, and that's because so many people still believe that this is more of a cyclical trend than a secular trend. But because of these incredibly attractive valuations, the best in the markets, that when you see those big diversified miners get hit, that those reactions create buying opportunities for long-term investors. Okay, folks, that's enough. Enjoy the new library. We look forward to your feedback. And meanwhile, the Dow is up 52 as I speak. That's the high of the day. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.